This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz. Hi there. Whether by accident or design, you are listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm your host, John Leary, and it's my job to ask the questions and give the clues to help my guests arrive at the correct answers. Taking that trip today are two people with long careers in the world of words. My first guest's literary connection goes back well before she was even born. With a novelist grandfather and screenwriter parents, she herself has written for television and the theatre, as well as recently finishing her time as the director of the Melbourne Writers Festival. My other guest is the director of the Sydney Writers Festival, having just enjoyed his first festival at the helm after being appointed last year after a long association with the Wheeler Centre in Melbourne. Welcome to the show, Marieke Hardy and Michael Williams.
Hooray!
Hello!
Hi there!
Hi!
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
How are you both?
Look, I'm one day out of, well, not even one day, a few hours out of lockdown in Melbourne.
Brilliant.
And it feels very much like lockdown in Melbourne, so that's nice.
So nothing much has changed?
No.
I'm happy to see Michael's face. Michael's one of my oldest and dearest friends, and obviously we haven't spent as much time together. So when Michael was at the Wheeler Centre, I was in the basement. He didn't keep me there. That's where the office of Melbourne Writers Festival was. And we got to see each other nearly every day. We were having a stressful day. We'd meet and have a hug at the elevator. We'd like meet, and then we had an even more secret stressful spot that we'd go to if the stress was more than the elevator hug. And then, well, he got the Sydney job, so he was part of the time in Sydney, then the virus. And so I get to see Michael's face. I'm very happy today.
Good.
It's also a nice way to do it because during the second lockdown, the big long one in Melbourne last year, one of the ways in which we kept sane is that Marieke and I, with a group of our friends, wound up being part of this, I think it's fair to say, insane weekly trivia thing that happened on Zoom.
Oh, wow, really?
So we formed part of this Trivia Brains Trust. And even though that had never been a basis of our friendship before then, we both discovered that we were deeply unattractively competitive human beings.
Yeah, we quibbled about points. We were that team.
Oh, wow.
We were like, I think you'll find, I love that trivia, and I'm not super into trivia, but as a mental health thing through lockdown, this once a week, all these really good-looking, smart people that we didn't know in real life in Melbourne, we were real outsiders, but God, it was fun.
How fantastic. Did you, you were on the same team?
Oh, yes.
And did you have a team name?
Yes, it was Airport Novel Coronavirus, which our friend Ramsey came up with because I think it was when everyone was calling it the Novel Coronavirus and he's like, this will be a fun play on words. And if you look at it, it just says Airport Novel Coronavirus written down, but they just called us Airport Novel all the time. I don't know that it was entirely successful.
There is no lower form of intellectual engagement than naming a trivia team. Like, it's rock bottom. It doesn't matter how good the team you put together is. It's like, okay, time to come up with your team name. And you're like, we're Trivia Newton-John. And everyone roars with laughter for about 5 seconds and then wants to kill themselves.
Yeah. And then 6 months later, you're still Trivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
Did you,
yeah.
Michael, were you on our team at the monthly trivia with Emily Zoe Baker? I still love that name that she came up with, which was, I thought this was speed dating. I still think that's a good trivia name.
Yeah, she's a clever woman.
Do you want to choose a trivia name for this?
No.
No?
No.
I thought this was speed dating. That's it.
All right, speed dating with Michael and Marieke. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. My guests today are Marieke Hardy and Michael Williams, and this is question number one. Complete the popular expression, a dime a
dozen.
Dozen is correct. And there's a bonus point. You look confused, Marieke.
Sorry, I paused for a moment there. I was baffled by it, but no, a dime a dozen.
My head went too far. I'm like, day keeps the doctor away? No, that's not it. Dollar, no. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, it's quite simple.
Time saves what?
Nine, yeah, saves nine in the hand. Leary, you said there was a bonus point. And as
there
people,
is a bonus
as
point.
People who love bonus points, we'd like to find out what that is. Thank you.
All right, the bonus point is this. For naming how many US cents a dime is worth.
It's 10, isn't it?
It is 10.
Yes! Yeah. Bonus! Yes!
Bonus point. Bonus. Right, we've won.
Well done, you got the bonus point.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I think we should go now. We're done.
That's
we've
it.
Got 2 points out of a possible one. That's the time to leave.
Look, I think you'll do quite well, actually,
looking
ahead. I think you'll be all right.
As long as they're all dime questions, we're fine.
All money related?
Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, swimming in a tank full of coins?
Well, also his lucky dime was his crucial thing. His number one dime was the first 10 cents he'd ever earned.
That's 4 points out of one
now.
Yeah. Four points out of one. We're doing so well.
Do you know where the word dime comes from? Mm. This is not a bonus point. Is it
from Princess Di?
No, it predates.
I would assume it's Princess Di. That's my answer.
I thought it was short for diamante, which is obviously the unit of measurement when it comes to things of value.
Of value. Diamantes. Yeah. That is actually incorrect. The dime was established by the Coinage Act in 1792 in the United States, but it was spelt D-I-S-M-E.
Ooh. That's stupid.
Which was still pronounced dime. It's an old French word for tenth, which came from the Latin decima.
That I think, goes a long way to show why the French have never been a superpower.
Possibly.
Just to be clear, John, we will not get any question right if there's not points attached.
Yeah, that's all we care about.
I see. So that's why when I said, do you know where the word comes from?
I tuned out.
Joke answers.
I just tuned out.
We were DMing each other saying there's nothing in this. Keep your powder dry. Don't give him anything for nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, points are back on the table. There we go. Question number two. A tool to punch leather is called, and this is a multiple choice.
Cool.
Or you can have a stab. And look, I'll throw in an extra point if you get it without hearing
don't
the...
Don't dangle the points, Kate, in front of us. You found our kryptonite.
No, give us the multiple choice.
No, here are the multiple choices. Is it A, a mallet, B, a bevel, or C, an awl?
Oh.
An awl is spelt A-W-L.
Yeah, I know how it's spelt in my head. What's your brain telling you, Michael?
I thought an awl was a kind of cloak.
That's a cow.
That's a cow. No, you're right. I'm getting awl and cow confused. I want to say bevel because it sounds like the first name of someone who writes for the Fairfax papers.
Isn't it bevel?
You bevel edges on a page.
Yes, you bevel edges in woodwork and metalwork, don't you? Isn't a bevel a...
Well, then maybe we should awl it.
Should we go for awl?
All for one.
All in. Let's do it.
All in on awl. Awl is correct.
Yes.
Well done.
Look at that. Magic.
Yeah. Very good. See.
Also, John, we thought it was good to theatrically talk through our process there. We knew it was all
Thank
all
you.
Along,
I appreciate that greatly. You must. Otherwise, the podcast is very short, very brief.
You might want to cut out the bit where we thought an awl was a hood or a cloak.
No, leave that in.
Okay.
Fine. I realise this is a podcast and I'll stop nodding in response to things at some point soon.
Yes, I need audio affirmation. Question number three. What is the largest continent in the world?
Michael, you do this. I'm so shit at these ones.
Largest continent in the world. I'm going to get this wrong. I feel like, is this one of those trick things and it's the fake continent of Antarctica?
It's not a fake question. It's not a trick question, I don't think.
No,
do you know how many continents there are?
Seven?
There are seven, correct.
Is that a bonus point? I feel like that should be. Point. Yes, I thought so. Great. Awesome.
I think it's Antarctica. I think.
It is not Antarctica.
And that's why I softened you up
that's
with that.
That's why you didn't.
Lulling you into a very real sense of security before I authoritatively said it's Asia.
It is Asia.
Oh, well done, Michael. We got that point. Well
First
done.
First time as well.
You were correct in saying that it was Asia, that there are seven continents. Do you want to have a swing at naming the other continents? That's pretty easy.
Bonus point.
Yeah, go on.
Go, Marie. Bring it home.
No way.
What?
I told you.
Super bonus points if you do it in order. So you've got Asia.
What? In what order? What order? Oh, in size. You want to go from biggest to smallest.
Wow.
That's fun. So then we go Asia. Is it then Antarctica?
It's not. Antarctica. Really? I'll give you this one. Antarctica is fifth.
Fifth? Oh, my God. That tiny little icy shithole.
It's shrinking. Yeah. That's why.
Oh, yeah. That's uplifting. So then Asia... Africa?
Correct.
North America?
Correct.
South America?
Correct.
Antarctica.
Very well done.
Thank you.
Australasia?
No.
That's not before Europe.
No, Europe.
Europe is bigger.
Is bigger than Australia.
Fancy. Yeah. I just thought they were big for their britches, but actually they're also big.
Actually a bigger landmass.
Fancy.
And let me tell you this, that Asia, you won't get this, it is 44,391,162 square kilometres.
No, we would have got that. We definitely would have got that, yeah.
Well, can you tell me then, with confidence, the percentage of Earth's total land area that represents?
Probably not.
I wouldn't have thought so, no.
No, I would have got the other one if you'd given us the
Wait. But... Lock it in. I've got the number in my head. Lock it in. Now tell us.
Okay. It is 30%.
That's exactly what I had.
That was it. Well
Jesus.
Done, Michael.
Can't believe that.
Well done. Brilliant. 30%. All right, question number four. Uttering which Shakespeare play's name aloud in the theatre is said to cause bad luck.
Marieke, you're a deeply theatrical person.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the Scottish play. Macbeth?
It is the Scottish play.
Then that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's Macbeth. I find it hard to even say it.
Really?
In the theatre. It's so drummed into me as an actor to just go, it's the Scottish play. We'll just call it that.
Wow, it's making you uneasy now. I can feel it, that you're nervous. As we say Macbeth, you're worried that a man not of woman born is going to come and strike you down.
No, it's not that. It's that something else will happen. You know,
What happens when people do the Scottish play?
You're allowed to say it, obviously, you know, in the throes of...
Say what, John? Say what?
Say the name of the lead character in the play. Yeah, while you're performing it, of course.
But if you say it outside that context, you turn into Kenneth Branagh, is what I've heard.
That is one of the
You
the
lose your chin, you, know, you become very pale...
No I've got lips. A joke about Kenneth Branagh. It's very old. It's very niche because it's only actors will find it funny. So, John, you might like it. And you'll see why it's so old. So it's when Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson were still together. And they're living together. And Emma Thompson goes, "Where are you, darling? Where are you?" And Kenneth Branagh goes, "Oh, I'm in the living room." And Emma Thompson says, "Oh, lovely. Can I be in it too?" That's the joke.
God.
That's the joke. It's very niche, but enjoy it. See, John really enjoyed that because he's an actor.
Yeah. I enjoy that. Yeah. That's funny.
Also,
I
mean, it hasn't aged at all.
They ruined the joke by breaking up.
Now the punchline has to involve Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah, where are you? I'm in Helena Bonham Carter.
Can I?
Is that too blue? Probably best not. That's I've got good. A really old joke about Edward Woodward.
Oh, yes. Sounds like a fart in a bath.
Similar era. No, why does Edward Woodward have four Ds in his name?
I don't know why.
Because otherwise his name would be Iwawuwa.
This is great. I love all these niche jokes about actors. This is fun. Do we get bonus points for those jokes?
Sure. I'd give bonus points all over the shop.
It has to be said that doing the weekend quiz always makes me feel like I'm a boomer. And these jokes are definitely doubling down on that. Like any idea I have of myself as a young and vital human being disappear when I name check Edward Woodward and then do the Saturday quiz.
Now, do you know what one is supposed to do when one does say Macbeth in the theatre?
Is it go outside and turn around three times and then there's some third part of it that I've forgotten? But there's definitely the turnaround.
There's a couple of other bits that you've got. You have to leave the theatre. You have to turn around three times. Mm. And then there's three other things that you have to do.
Interesting.
Do you know what they might be?
Touch your nose, kick a horse. I don't know what the third one is.
They are a bit like that.
Scrub a spot from the palm of your hand. Part of a forest ascending on a castle.
No. Again, these are all things in the play, but not actually what you have to do if you're sent out of the theatre.
Does Michael get points for mentioning things in the play? I think because that's like an added... It's just an added thing that wasn't...
Just stop trying to get bonus points. No. You're doing very well. You don't need the bonus points.
Yes, we do.
Love that point, Hunger.
Exit the theatre, spit, swear... Turn around three times and ask to be let back in.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
There you go.
Theatre people are stupid, aren't they?
John's theater a theatre person.
No, nice. But theatre people are stupid.
Both of you are, and I respect the two of you enormously, but in general, what a superstitious bunch of unemployable people.
Yeah, so superstitious. But I think that's part of it, isn't it? The unemployment. You go, oh, God, I've got to wear my lucky undies.
Yeah.
Otherwise I won't get the role.
Give me a horseshoe on the way to Centrelink.
Question number 5. In which country did the game of Mahjong originate?
Silence is good for a podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
thanks,
you can
guys.
Trim the silence.
No. Keep the sound of the mulling. We're mulling. Rick?
I don't know. All I can think about is how satisfying the tiles feel to touch. Mahjong tiles are a very same way backgammon.
Backgammon, yeah.
Backgammon, yeah. Like really satisfying to hold.
Oh.
That's not the answer, but that's...
The rule generally when you ask what country something originated in, as a rule of thumb, the answer is almost always Scotland. I don't think it is this time. But the Scots love claiming that kind of ownership of early inventions. It feels obvious and overblown, but I'm going to say China, I reckon.
Yeah, go the obvious. It's not a trick question.
Oh, okay,
cool. It originated in China.
In Edinburgh, China.
The Scottish game.
The Forbidden City.
We'll be right back after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm with Marieke Hardy and Michael Williams, and this is question number 6. Name the English physicist and chemist who discovered electromagnetic induction and researched the principles of electrolysis. And I've got the dates of his birth and death, if you'd like them. 1791 to 1867. How are you with your English physicists and chemists?
Look, pretty good as a rule. Is it, what's his face? Faraday. Michael Faraday.
Bingo. It absolutely is Michael Faraday.
John, this is why I wanted Michael to do this because
I love it.
My general knowledge is appalling. Like, appalling. Like, Egghead likes her bookie wooks. I understand bookie wook shit and not all bookie wook shit, but. Geography, like I count on my fingers. I can't do maths. I'm not joking.
Well, this guy couldn't, Michael Faraday couldn't do maths either. He was apparently very poor at the writing down and the mathematics needed to be required to be a scientist. But he was a very gifted experimentalist.
I see myself in the same realm as an experimentalist, very gifted. I've just accepted that I'm really good at some things and, like, embarrassingly bad at others.
See, like the only reason I know and remember Faraday's name is I had a period where I just, when I was being a bit nerdy, I liked to learn people who had laws or theorems named after them or whatever. So Faraday's laws are kind of, if you're talking electrolysis, that's one of the kind of things. So
the lonely years, Michael.
What can I say? University was a solitary time.
Yeah, he invented the first electric motor and, among other things, built the first electric generator. You're right. When you're talking about electronics or
hair removal.
Or hair removal.
Yep. Or people who are great at parties. Michael Faraday, famously.
Was he a great...
Oh, God. You get
conversationalist?
Got next to him near the crudités and you just wouldn't want to leave. You get someone else to top up your drink.
All right, question number 7. What is the currency of Denmark?
I want to say krona, but I'm sure that's not it. Is Denmark the place where that sounds like they're speaking English, but they're not? Do you remember Bill Bryson did that great piece on it when he went to Europe and someone saying, will you fondle my nethers? He goes, checks into a hotel and it just sounds like they're speaking very rude English.
He faithfully transcribes what he hears rather than what they're saying. It's really
good.
She
says, I tingle when I squirt. I remember that very... No, but I tingle when I squirt.
That is a vivid line to remember. And also from Macbeth.
It is. Famous Shakespearean line.
People forget that. Full of sound and fury and tingling when squirting. Is it a trick question and is the answer the euro?
No, it's not a trick question. And in fact, Marek, you were correct.
Hey!
It is the Danish krona.
Well, I accept that point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very well done.
So do I.
Have either of you been to Denmark?
I have, but not for, like, not just the normal long time that we all haven't been anywhere. But even before that, not for a very long time. Such a lovely, clean, law-abiding space. Is Denmark the one? Again, I'm going on Bryson. I'm sure he's in Denmark and he talks about how law-abiding it is. And he finds one, there's a very drunk young man out and the police are with him and there's a small crowd gathered. And he says, and the police sort of take him and he says, what are you going to do with this young man? And the policewoman said, I think he just needs to go home and have a little walk and then go home. And they walk him home. And that's also the place where I think the Queen just used to walk around on her own. And everyone was like, we love the Queen so much, we'll just let her walk around. And he felt like it was a very safe place. Is that Denmark? I'm sure I got that right.
That's pretty nice.
Sure.
I think you're right. I remember that. Bryson's line, his first sentence of his first book, which was...
I come from Des Moines. Somebody has to.
Yeah. Magic.
Oh, nice.
Good old Bill Bryson.
What is that first book?
That's Notes from...
Notes from a Big Country.
That's right.
I feel for Denmark like it's a bad sign that when you were reminiscing about it, the first adjective you went to was clean. Like, I do feel like for a country, like, not that clean is a bad thing to be as a country, but if that's the most memorable thing about you, and then the next most memorable thing is what a dude from Iowa wrote about you, then you might want to take a good hard look at yourself and maybe update the kind of cultural...
Yeah, but well done. Yes, it is the Danish krona.
Thank you.
Good answer and good process.
Thank you.
Question number 8. Which Toni Collette film is based on the true story of a thoroughbred racehorse bred by a small town Welsh bartender?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make Muriel's Wedding work with that and I just don't know that I can.
No, I reckon we can lean into that.
Horses are sometimes called ridiculous things, so maybe it is Muriel's Wedding.
That's true.
It's not, by the way.
It's a good name for a horse.
It is a good name for a horse.
A Toni Collette horsey movie. I have to admit, and
yes,
definitely like this will make some people very angry who are listening, I can't abide any piece of culture centred around a horse. A book, a film, a TV show, except for BoJack Horseman.
What about a painting? What about
painting? Oh, my God.
It's a majestic animal.
I get that. But honestly, snooze fest. My brain doesn't retain them.
I was worried then, Michael, that you were going to say that you were actively against anything that Toni Collette was in. And I thought that would have made people more angry than the horse.
No. I love
Toni Collette. Yeah, no one cares about movies with horses.
I love Toni Collette. And so that's why I'm annoyed that I can't even picture... Like, I'm trying to do the visual memory of a poster.
It's out now. It's in cinemas now.
Oh, God, it's that one Dream Horse.
It is. That's exactly what it's called.
Oh, Michael, good for you. Oh, that was another great title, Hiding in Plain Sight.
No. I only know because with lockdown ending in Melbourne, I did look at what was on in the cinema so I could consider going to the movies this weekend. So
Are you allowed to go to the cinema?
I have no idea if I'm allowed to go. Yeah, I haven't looked that up yet. I looked up what was on before I looked up whether I'm allowed.
Did you consider Dream Horse or did something else catch your eye?
Given what I've just told you, would a film with the word horse in the title, I'd be like, yes, please.
Is that a wrestle for you internally because you love Toni Collette but you don't like films about horses? Have you been presented with the ultimate challenge?
Oh, my God, like Sophie's Choice but with a horse and Toni Collette instead of kids and Nazis.
I don't think she was choosing between kids and Nazis.
Yeah, that was it, kids or Nazis.
Because that's a pretty easy choice.
Is it, though?
Is it? What if they're Nazi kids, John?
Yeah, there you go.
That's The Sound of Music, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's choosing between kids or Nazis. Oh, Rolf, you make me feel so alive.
But, yes, well done. It was Dream Horse, which is horse bred by a small-town Welsh bartender.
Does Toni Collette do an accent? Does history relate?
I assume she does.
Wow.
Because I think that would be a detail in the question if it was an Australian bartender who raised a horse in Wales.
Oh, well, now I'm going to go and look for the trailer just to see whether my greatest love or my greatest hate, like, where it comes.
All right, question number 9. In the human body, the malar or zygomatic bone is also known as the what? So malar, M-A-L-A-R, and zygomatic or zygomatic, Z-Y-G-O-M-A-T-I-C. Where is that bone?
All I'm thinking of is it's automatic. Boo! It's zygomatic. Boo! It's Grease Lightning. They're the lyrics, aren't they?
Yeah,
so he was singing about bones back then.
Song in Grease is about a bone, one way or the other.
Yeah. How's your bone knowledge, Michael?
Look, it's not great, but I keep thinking that like it must be something like. Let's think about it. We know the proper names for lots of bones, like your tibia or your fibia or your coccyx or your. So it's not going to be one of those. So it is probably going to be one where we use.
Like the funny bone or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Like
we would use the idiomatic more than we would use the proper name for it. So
absolutely.
What bones about which do we, you know, so let's rule out the skull. You know, it could be something in the nose, like it could be a septum. It's not your septum, but it could be like, don't know, but that's my process of elimination.
It is in the head. Right. I'll give you that clue.
Head bone.
The head bone.
The good old head bone. It could be part of the skull, but I think probably not if it's a self-contained bone, jawbone.
Maybe it's your jawbone. Yeah, that's what I was just thinking as well.
It's not the jawbone.
John, don't interrupt. Marie and I are talking about what's
going to guess. We've got our process, John. Work through it.
I mean, it's clearly not the jawbone, I feel instinctively. What about, cheekbone? Yeah,
it is.
Cheekbone.
It's the cheekbone.
Let us finish. Michael, should we lock in cheekbones?
Lock it in.
Okay, yeah, we want to go with cheekbones. Thanks, John.
Lock in cheekbone. You are correct. The malar zygomatic bone is also known as the cheekbone.
I wouldn't know. I don't have any. Marika has excellent cheekbones.
They're there somewhere.
No, I grew a beard to create the illusion of bone structure in my face.
Same.
Yeah,
that's absolutely the same. Hair contouring.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's like, his head has a shape. It's not just a giant fleshy disc. Which was my nickname at uni, which is why I was very popular.
Well, we are up to the final question, question number 10, and it is the sports question. But look, I think you'll be all right. Here we go. Which tennis player withdrew from the French Open due to concerns over their mental health?
Oh, yes, we got this one. It's Naomi Osaka.
It is Naomi Osaka.
That was a fucking amazing move on her part.
Good.
Naomi Osaka, we got is that 10 out of 10? I assume it's 10. Or like 17 out of 10, I think.
Yeah, it is exactly 17 out of 10.
See, I got that as well. There's a bonus for getting
for guessing 18, your own score.
18 out of 10. Well done, us.
Incredible.
18 out of 10. Surely that must have happened before.
It might be a record score. It's certainly among the highest. We're going to take a quick break.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for coming back. My guests today have been Marieke Hardy and Michael Williams, and they have done extremely well.
I have to say, John, that was a very kind sport question. When I'm doing the weekend quiz, my kryptonite is 100% the sport question. You know, which cyclist won the 1992? I'm just like, oh, don't do that to me. Like, the powerful cycling lobby will pillory us for not knowing, but, like, I would never guess the cycling question. Unless it's Lance Armstrong.
I wonder what the Venn diagram is of the cycling lobby and the horse lobby. Like, I'm sure there's people who will be angry, a two-pronged fury at you, Michael. Cycling horses.
I don't think so. I think they'd be quite separate.
So you're saying two different saddle sore communities are going to have it in for me now. People who walk bow-legged are not going to be happy.
You're really antagonising.
The saddled community. Yeah, well, you took down the Danish, Marieke, so we're fine.
I think I spoke quite kindly about that.
Yeah, you said they were clean and boring.
I didn't say
law-abiding. Law-abiding.
Law-abiding, sorry. I always get those two confused. I'll go outside and turn around three times and spit and then ask for that back in.
Thank you both so much for doing the quiz.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for having us.
I think you did exceptionally well.
Big fan. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Saturday Quiz. If you've been enjoying this podcast, please tell all your friends and share the show on social media, where you can also follow me, Johnny John Leary, and the show, The Saturday Quiz. Thanks to Marieke Hardy and Michael Williams for being my guests this week. Thanks, as always, to Sydney McDonald for writing the questions, which you can find in print every week in the Saturday paper. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.